You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello, one and all. A warm welcome along to the Punt podcast here with William Hill, ahead of another big weekend of footballing action. We've got the two FA Cup semi-finals, two live games in the Premier League and four non-televised Premier League games on Saturday as well. Dave Kellner, Tom Kerwin, Derek McGovern ready and set to give you, hopefully the best bets ahead of the weekend's football. First of all, a good morning to you, Mr. Derek McGovern.
Good morning, chaps. How are you all doing?
Very well. How are you?
Yes, very well. I had a little break in Portugal this week in the sunshine, so looking brown and beautiful as ever.
Very good, very good. Tom, how are you, sir?
How come you two, what are they paying you to do this? How come you two are Vegas, skiing, Portugal, a midweek trip to Portugal? I'm lucky if I get somewhere in North Yorkshire for an afternoon, that's
you
about
get to,
it.
You get to visit Elland Road most weekdays, Tom. It's going to be a pleasure for you, hasn't it?
No comment. No comment at the moment. The jitters are here. It's the end of the season, so it does some strange things to football teams, doesn't it, as we have seen over the last week. By the way, can I also say, Solomon Rondon crucially and cruelly overlooked in a PFA Team of the Year in awards. I know you're not a professional footballer, Dave, but I know you probably tried to sneak in a vote or two, but cruelly overlooked. If only all the votes were cast after he scored that one hat-trick and his only goals of the season before Christmas.
I think they were cast then.
Was Diego Costa in there or Zlatan Ibrahimovic? Did those two make it?
No, I don't think they did. Did they? I can't remember. I haven't seen the full team. I've been away on a little break, haven't I? So I haven't seen. But I'll tell you, I know that Kante is the favourite, and we mentioned this last week, but come on, Hazard's been the best player in the league this season, hasn't he? Surely.
Okay, let's get stuck into this week on that note, and we'll start with Chelsea taking on Spurs in the first of the FA Cup semi-finals. This is Saturday, 5:15, and this is a big game, this one. Chelsea 7-4 to win it, the draw 21-10 with Tottenham 9-5. There's barely a cigarette paper between them in the betting. Is there a chance that Chelsea, Derek, were thinking about this last weekend, because that was a lacklustre performance against Manchester United at Old Trafford? Never really at it. Eden Hazard couldn't influence the match. Diego Costa didn't either. And Tom just mentioned that, I think it was off air, that Chelsea failed to have a shot on target in the game. And Spurs have continued that fine run they've been on. They've narrowed the gap at the top of the Premier League to 4 points, and they've now won their last 8 games in all competitions, Derek.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've got a feeling that the odd compilers nationwide would have been thinking, should we make Tottenham favourite for this? I know that they're still behind Chelsea, 4 points behind, but they are playing above themselves right now, where Chelsea, you can just see the cracks are beginning to show. And, you know, I think, if I was an odds compiler pricing up this, I would make Spurs favourites. I think maybe the reason that they're not is that it's at Wembley and their knees go all trembly there, as we've seen in recent in Champions League. And also, they're allergic to FA Cup semi-finals. They've lost each of their last 6 FA Cup semi-finals, which is an incredibly bad record. I think they'll win this, though. That performance by Chelsea last week against United, it defied belief. I know there's a lot of excuses being put forward. I mean, I think Conte, the manager Antonio Conte, blamed himself for not motivating his team enough. Some officials at Chelsea blamed the bug affecting some of the players, and Azpilicueta Laqueta blamed it on the boogie. But it was just an absolutely shocking performance. And let's not forget, by the way, that Spurs annihilated them at White Hart Lane in January. I think it was 2-0, wasn't it? And they really played them off the park. The way they're playing right now, I can't see Tottenham losing to anybody. I can see Chelsea losing. I can see Chelsea losing this. And I think, in a way, it's funny, isn't it? This is an FA Cup semi-final between the top two in the league. A massive, massive game, and yet in the eyes of some people, it's more of a title decider. It's taking on the role of a title decider. I don't quite know how, but it shows you how far the FA Cup has fallen in recent seasons. Anyway, that's by the by. We've discussed that many, many times in recent weeks. What I will say is that Tottenham have to be back here at nearly 2-1 to win in 90 minutes. But a team playing like they are right now, there's not a weakness there. I think they're looking great.
I think Derek picks up on a good point there, though, Tom, with it this game being played at Wembley. That's sticking in the back of the compiler's mind, that ill-fated European adventure They put in some pretty disastrous performances at Wembley, Tom.
Well, they did, and you know the game against Monaco now, in sort of hindsight, doesn't look too bad a result, does it? Because I think they only lost to them 2-1, but they conceded the first goal in all those matches, and against you know, in the Europa League as well, they made a bit of a mess of things at Wembley. They're the two things that are going against Tottenham, and it depends on how you want to factor them into your thinking ahead of this game. The awful record at Wembley, and actually, you know, even away from home, I know they've picked up a lot of good results recently in the Premier League, but they don't win as big or as comfortably as they have been doing at White Hart Lane. The other thing that probably goes against them, and I know some punters look at this pretty closely, is the awful record against Chelsea. I mean, Spurs, I don't think, have been beaten by any other team more than Chelsea. And there's been some poor sides that have come up against in the Premier League, but, you know, like Chelsea are the team, they just have something over them. But I go back to more recent form, and I go back to that game at White Hart Lane. I know it was in a different stadium, but if Tottenham could beat Chelsea while they were absolutely flying and they looked invincible, then why can't they beat them when Chelsea aren't playing well? I mean, Chelsea, you look at them in two different ways. You can say they've won 7 of their last 9 games, which is pretty good, but you can also look at the fact they've lost 2 out of 4. And in that big game, Old Trafford, and it was a big game, it was a game they would have settled for a point in, they just failed to show up. And tactically, for the first time in a long time, Conte was completely outthought by Mourinho, and that will have damaged him as much as it damaged the players. Now, I know that a lot is being made of this game in terms of the title race, but I think it is a factor here. I think if one team can potentially, you know, swing a big blow in the other team's, you know, direction, then I think it does psychologically give them a bit of an advantage. Because, you know, if Tottenham can win, you know, comfortably and give Chelsea a bit of a lesson, which I think some people are predicting, if that happens, then there's no question it sets Chelsea back. Even though they do have a so-called easy run of fixtures, this is the kind of match that Chelsea, I think, have to try and get something from. Look, there's not much in it. Tottenham away from, I'm trying to factor everything into it, and when I balance everything up, I can only see this being a very tight match, and I see it being a draw. I see there being a few goals in it. I was looking at records of semi-finals at Wembley, and there's this idea that they're kind of tight and trappy affairs because no one wants to lose and everything else, but 8 of the last 11 have seen over 2.5 goals land, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a similar story here. Be it a Tottenham 3-0, I mean, I could conceivably see that, but I can also see both teams, you know, conceding, because I think on the Wembley pitch, some of those memories will come flooding back for the Tottenham defence, and although they look absolutely imperious at the moment, you know, I could see there being a few goals flying around, but ultimately I'm going to plump for the draw here, gents, at 21-10. I just don't think, I think what Conte will do is he'll play damage limited, he'll try and keep in check as long as he possibly can in the game and hopefully try and nick something. But Chelsea aren't a team that I think at this moment in time can go toe-to-toe with Tottenham and play a football match against them. I think they've got to change their tactics, and I think that will mean they kind of, you know, they go into their shell a little bit and try and be defensively minded. So I think this could go all the way, so I'm backing the draw.
21-10, the draw in the game. Derek, do you think, just very quickly, that this Wembley thing's being overplayed here? Because we've talked about it on the podcast in detail, but it should suit Spurs playing at a big pitch like Wembley, because the way those wing-backs, be it Kieran Trippier, Danny Rose, Kyle Walker, I know Rose is out for this game, but the way they bomb forward, their style of play, it should suit a surface like Wembley.
Yeah, it should do. I mean, you can't really put your finger on why it was their performances in Europe. Maybe it's the fact that they were just up against European opposition. Maybe their European opponents playing at Wembley raised their game. You know, it's a big thing for European players. And also, let's not forget that Tottenham weren't playing as well then before Christmas as they are now. You know, that's a big, big difference. Everything's in their favour. I'm not worried about the Wembley factor at all.
Quick shout as well, just for Heung-min Son as well. I know we talk about him over recently, but 9-4 he is any time. 8 goals in 6 matches, loads of assists. He's the one to back as well if you're looking for a goal scorer in this one.
Your bedroom's adorned with posters of Heung-min Son, isn't it now, Tom? Yeah, he's your Solomon Rondon.
Correct, he is. But unlike Solomon Rondon, Dave, he's doing the goods. You know, he's producing the goods on the pitch.
Arsenal versus Manchester City is the other FA Cup semi-final. Sunday, 3 p.m. for this one. Arsenal 16-5 to win the game. The draw 5-2 with Manchester City 10-11. The enhanced odds, Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win in 90 minutes was 9-2. Now 6-1. And Leroy Sané to score and Man City to win in 90 minutes was 5-2. That's been enhanced to 3-1. Tom, Arsenal only just beat Middlesbrough on Monday night. That's how bad they've been recently. And prior to that, they did suffer that humiliating defeat against Crystal Palace. This competition has so often been a source of respite for Arsene Wenger, though. This will be their 29th appearance in the FA Cup semi-finals, which is the most of any team in the competition's history. And they've won the trophy 12 times as well, which is a joint record alongside Manchester United.
Yeah, look, they're going to feel probably pretty comfortable in the environment and on this stage. Most of the players have kind of been there before, but we're not talking about their opponents, Man City, in terms of, you know, their personnel and not sort of playing in big games. It's been the one criticism of Manchester City over recent years is kind of getting over the line. There's, you know, many City fans would probably tell you that they should have been, you know, contesting more cup finals and actually should have a little bit more silverware for their efforts and their expenditure. And, you know, I know an Arsenal fan who dared to have the cheek to get in touch with me on Tuesday morning and claim that Arsenal were on their way back, you know, and they were going to have a real strong end to the season. Well, I'm not having that after the performance against Middlesbrough. Yes, they won the game, but I think there is many a League Two side that could go at the Riverside and give Middlesbrough a real tough contest. And it's kind of the desperate acts now of Arsene Wenger in terms of changing the formation. All of a sudden, he's cottoned on. You know, Conte was doing it, what, a month into the season. He went three at the back and, you know, went on that great run. And Arsene Wenger, it's almost a metaphor for how far behind the times he is now. You know, this in vogue system this year that's been employed by so many teams, Arsene Wenger decides to employ it, what, with four or five games of the season left, and you know, they beat Middlesbrough, but I won't be getting too excited about that. Look, Arsenal's only wins recently have been against struggling sides, 5 wins from 12, and be this a cup game or not, and be it on neutral territory or not, Manchester City are the better team. And Manchester City, you know, they're a team that this season you've had to play right in terms of backing them, because they've been in peaks and troughs. When they've been bad, they've not been backable in any stretch of the imagination, because you can't back them to dig out a result. But when they're good, you need to be on board with them, and I'm on board with them here. You know, last couple of victories, I know against Southampton and Hull, but, you know, they were decent enough for me to suggest that City have got a little bit of swagger back. You know, company's back now and fit and raring to go. And again, I've got to follow the same scenarios I have in recent weeks. I only changed that on Monday, is that Arsenal, even as big as 16-5, I can't touch them. I can't. There's still something absolutely rotten at the core of that club. So I've got to be with Man City. And I don't think the price is that bad, 10-11. I thought initially they might be a little bit shorter. But Sergio Aguero to score any time in a Man City win on the anytime wincast is 6-4. And I think that is absolutely golden, because Aguero is the man for these occasions and he will score. Also, company 10-1 any time. Take advantage of Arsenal on the set pieces. But my selection will be an Aguero goal and Man City to win at 6-4.
If you're looking at the head-to-head between these two sides, Derek, three of the last six meetings have finished 2-2, so they've been entertaining contests. Arsenal have actually won a couple of those as well, winning 2-1 and 2-0. Man City are winning the other one 2-1. I kind of disagree with Tom here. I think Man City look short to me, Derek.
Well, yeah, you look, they are short. There's no doubt about it. And the odds compilers, they're tempting punters to back Arsenal, aren't they, at that kind of price? I mean, 3 months ago, if you'd have seen on neutral territory Arsenal at over 3-1 to beat Man City, I mean, it would have been mortgage job territory. But I'm not sure they can. I'm a bit like Thomas, but I'm not sure you can back Arsenal, because they look anemic. They really do. The players have stopped playing for the manager. They're not interested. Their best players want to get away. I couldn't back them. And one of the other things Tom says is right, that City do have their swagger back. I mean, you know, they've looked really good in the last couple of games. Okay, the opposition is pretty much token, but they've done the job well. And I remember a game against Arsenal. Was it at the Emirates 2 weeks ago when it finished 2-2? And you think, well, you know, there's a crumb of comfort for Arsenal there. But my vivid recollection of that game was City were all over them and could have put the game to bed before half time. Could have been about 5 or 6 nil. They were absolutely that far superior. I can see the same happening again. You know, I mean, if Arsenal were to lose this badly, would Wenger be able to limp to the end of the season, even given what's been happening there? And I'm not sure that he could. I mean, it's the FA Cup, and he's got a respect for the FA Cup. We know that. It's a piece of silverware that's finally stopped critics counting how many years he'd failed to win a trophy. I mean, that does get on your nerves after a while. I speak as someone who has gone 276 days without sex. A special thanks to all the guys at William Hill for that information, by the way. Thanks for that, lad. I've got to go for City here. I thought I'd get unusual territory to win in 90 minutes. I thought I'd get even for City, maybe even a touch of 11 to 10. So it does go against the grain a little to back 10 to 11. But I've got to be against Arsenal. I've got to be against them.
OK, City for both Derek and Tom. 10 to 11 Manchester City. Tom looking at the anytime win cast as well. Aguero to score in a City win available at 6-4. Let's talk Premier League football now, and we'll start with those two games on Sunday. Burnley versus Manchester United, first of all. 2:15 kick-off this one. Burnley 5-1 to win it. The draw 11-5 with Manchester United 7-10. The enhanced odds, Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 10-1. That's been enhanced to 14s. And Marcus Rashford to score and Manchester United to win was 6-4. That's now a 7-4. Derek, it's a Jose Mourinho special to unsettle a player just as his team's about to meet them in the Premier League. There's been a lot of chatter in the last 7 days about Michael Keane moving to Manchester United in the summer. But on the evidence of Thursday night, albeit United eventually prevailed against Anderlecht coming through after extra time, they need a lot more than just Michael Keane to arrive in the summer.
Yeah, I was talking him up, wasn't I, around about Christmas. What a plum I've looked since then, because they've just, I don't know what it is, there's something not quite right there. You look at the team sheet that Mourinho can call on and you think, well, they should be doing an awful lot better. But they've struggled in a poor Europa League to make it to the last four. And, you know, they're going to look so they're going to miss out on the top four in the Premier League. I mean, at least it's not at Old Trafford, the theatre of draws, so we might get a positive result in this game. All right? When I say positive, I mean any result that earns me money, which none of them ever do, by the way. But 5-1 Burnley, isn't there a school of thought here, or am I just inventing this, that, you know, United have got in the, they know their only route now, really, to the Champions League is via the Europa League. They're in the semi-final, draw being made today. Does the league cease to be that important to them now?
I said that to someone, Derek, but you look at the league table, I suppose they can still catch Liverpool, definitely, and City as well. Liverpool are only 6 points ahead. Manchester United have got a couple of games in hand. So, in theory, they won that couple of games and the bat level with Liverpool. So, I think he'll still put out a strong side, but the Europa League's definitely a more likely route to the Champions League next season.
Well, yeah, I think they're long, you know, sure favourites to win the Europa League, but they're a big price to win, big price to get into the top four. So, I mean, I would go with my school of thought there. I'm probably the only one in it, but I'm going with it anyway. I'm 5-1 Burnley on home territory. It's so long that I initially mistook it for Zlatan Ibrahimovic's hooter. I mean, it's too big. It's just too big. You might say that Burnley aren't 100% safe, are they? Yeah, you know, you look at that league table and there's still a chance that, you know, they could be sucked in. I'm going for them. I mean, I know the results since January have not been the best for Burnley, but they never get outclassed by anybody. Every time I see them, I think, I've had hard lines there, Burnley. And I think 5-1 against a team who I think commitment has to be questioned. I think that's a big price.
32 points at home this season as well, Burnley, so that's where you've got to back them at these big prices. Manchester United, Tom, missed loads of chances midweek against Anderlecht, but lots of talk about Marcus Rashford. He came up with the goods, and there's mention of him being the second coming now. What do you think to Rashford? Is he going to be a superstar?
I certainly didn't get carried away when he kind of burst onto the scene. I just think it gets a little bit ridiculous in his country, you know, when a young player sort of, you know, starts well. I mean, you know, maybe I'm just remembering Federico Maceda too much, and you know, and Januzaj and other players. You know, we kind of build them up so much, and this kid obviously is English as well, so it's 50-fold, isn't it? But he does look incredibly impressive, and I think for Mourinho, he's at a little bit of a crossroads now this season, because you know, he's obviously spent a fortune last year. He's got a slight problem with Ibrahimovic because, you know, without his goals, they'd be nowhere this season. I mean, that is a fact. But, you know, he does completely slow down and change the way that they play. So I suppose for next season, there's a few things to think about. And actually, will he have to almost give make Rashford his main man and actually, you know, throw him in from the start? Because I think it looks like he can handle it. And, you know, that out-and-out pace you just don't get very often, particularly with centre-forwards. You know, we look at strikers that are doing the business in our league, in the Premier League, you know, and they're all quick, don't get me wrong. You know, Harry Kane, Romelu Lukaku and others. But he is, you know, half a yard quicker than all of them. And I think that's it's a big change, really, in how Manchester United are going to approach things and play. But when they look at this game, you know, Burnley have already been backed in. I looked at them earlier this week, gents, and then they were 6-1. So I think that price is going to shorten, because I think people will take a look at, a bit like I did last week and got suckered into it. You know, I thought Manchester United, after a European week and where their focus is, you know, I didn't think they'd be bang at it as they were against Chelsea. And this is away from home at Turf Moor, where, you know, let's not forget, you know, Chelsea, you know, only got a draw. Arsenal scraped a victory. Man City scraped a victory. They beat Liverpool, you know, and they've had good results. I know they're not playing well of late, but this for the Burnley fans, and knowing a few of them, this is their, I wouldn't say their last sort of big game, but this is the one they've really been waiting for, because there's no love lost between these two. And Burnley have had decent results against Manchester United recently. They got the 0-0, you know, at Old Trafford, where Tom Heaton, you know, made 362 saves. It still lives in the memory at Turf Moor, you know, that Robbie Blake, you know, winner, you know, a few years back, in which they beat Manchester United. So they've had results against them. And I'm with Derek here. I'm still unsure. I mean, Manchester United keep getting results somehow, but I'm not interested in touching them, especially at 7-10. So I think the value is with Burnley. I think there might just be one last hurrah for Sean Dyche's side, and this might be the last thing they get to cheer this season. So I'd be back in Burnley, or take them, you know, the double chance Burnley, or the draw at 21-20, or the draw no bet at 3-1. But I'd be back in something positive Burnley here.
Burnley 5-1 to win the game. Manchester United 22 games unbeaten in the league. Every other Premier League team to go this long unbeaten in a single season has won the league that campaign, but Manchester United won't be doing this year. Too many draws for United, and 7-10 to win at Burnley at Turf Moor on Sunday. The other game on Sunday is Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. This is 4:30. Liverpool 1-2 to win this game. The draw 3-1 with Palace. 6-1 enhanced odds. Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win was 29-20, now 7-4, and Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 19-2. That's been enhanced to 14-1. A big win, Tom, for Liverpool last weekend, with those around them winning. Keeps them a couple of points ahead of City, 6 ahead of United going into the weekend. West Brom were abysmal in that match last weekend. Liverpool didn't play great, but Roberto Firmino's strike at half-time, or bang on half-time, was good enough. Palace have played some really good football recently, though.
Well, they have, and you know, in the last 7 matches, what they've lost one game. They've won 5, including, of course, that victory at Stamford Bridge. And you know, I don't think they'll be worried here about going to Liverpool. They've given themselves that little bit of breathing space now, Sam Allardyce's side. So they obviously need to keep, you know, keep picking up the points. But for me, Palace are almost a win or bust side at the moment. You know, I either see them winning or losing quite heavily. But the problems that they've got, really, are probably defensively, because Saka won't be able to play, will he? You know, and he's been absolutely key for them. And Liverpool, you know, all these injuries that they've been having, you know, and key players missing out, you know, the likes of Lallana and Henderson's had problems, Coutinho, Mane. You know, they've motored along pretty nicely of late. 7 unbeaten, they've won 5 of those games. But when I'm looking at this match, I see two teams whose strength is still going forward. I know they've made improvements defensively, but you've still got to look at these attacking players. And I think there's a few players in the Palace team, the likes of Townsend, Punchin, and Zaha, who I think will probably want to try and capitalise on being at this stage on Sunday, you know, and prove their worth, really. And I think they could cause Liverpool a few problems. I mean, half a mind on Sunday, and it would be a real super Sunday, of backing the Burnley Palace double. because, you know, I look at Liverpool and I still look at the goals here. I mean, I'm either going to play Palace or I'm going to look for goals here. They've conceded in 12 of the last 14 matches, Liverpool. 1 clean sheet in 9. But they've scored in 16 of the last 18 at Anfield. And when you look at Palace and you look at their record away from home, scoring and conceding, it matches up pretty similarly for me. So the both teams to score play at 8-11, I think, is decent. But you know what, I'm going to take Palace here, and I'm going to take Palace plus a goal at 8-5. I think this could be one that maybe Liverpool stumble in, and I still think Palace are the form side, and at big prices, I want to be backing them. So I'm going to take Palace at plus a goal at 8-5.
They have been good at home in the Premier League, Liverpool. You look at their last 24 games in the Premier League, they've lost just one of those, but they do fail to keep clean sheets as well. Only 7 clean sheets in that run. Derek, this is a game that I can see being very entertaining and end-to-end. That's my gut feeling about this.
Yes, it probably will be. Liverpool shouldn't have kept a clean sheet last week against West Brom. In all those games where they've conceded goals, they should have conceded a couple last week. It was an incredibly good performance by Liverpool. Didn't get the respect and acclaim it deserved. You know, because it was one of those grind-out victories that Liverpool have never been capable of. And they've won at West Brom, they've won at Stoke. in recent weeks. They're two tough games. Like, it's games that Liverpool in previous seasons would have lost. And it's something I'm liking about Liverpool now. I've been loath to back them at odds on because they're so prone to howlers. But they seem to have got that out of the system now. And they're not making any mistakes. They're picking up. They're actually winning games like a title-winning side would do. Now, it's too far for that. They're too far behind for that. But still, you know, I'm liking what I'm seeing. And the thing about Palace, you look at, you know, when Allardyce took over, you thought, he's taking over a good side there. You look at the players they've got. There's no way they're going down. And I think he lost three of his first four games, and it was all gloom and doom. But since then, they're only playing like they should do, Palace, in my eyes at the moment.
Yeah,
they've had a couple of bad results in that time. And one thing about Allardyce is this is why he keeps sides up. He picks and chooses his games. I think this is his MO. And they've got a couple of easy games at home in to come. I think it's against Hull and somebody else who's crap. I can't remember who. Between now and the end of the season, they only need one more win basically to seal survival. I think he'll be picking them. I don't think he'll be picking this game. I think he's going to give his team a bit of a day off in this, and I think Liverpool will win this well. I mean, Sacco can't play. We know that. Well, everybody who's watching at Anfield knew that anyway. I mean, you know, the fact that he's improved Palace since he went there shows you how bad Palace were beforehand, because Sacco, in my eyes, is not a footballer. I think he's an absolute disgrace on the ball. But there you go. I've said that against about a few players. I've got to go for Liverpool. I've opposed him in recent weeks at Stoke and West Brom and been made to look an absolute dummy. I'm not opposing him this time around. I think it's actually a fair price, you know, Liverpool to beat Palace 1-2.
Okay, Liverpool 1-2 for Derek. Let's talk about the non-televised matches. Saturday, 3 p.m. And Swansea versus Stoke is the first one. Swansea are 5-4. The draw 21-10. Stoke are 5-2. Enhanced odds, Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 11-4, now 7-2. And Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Derek, we might be saying this every week from now until the end of the season, but this is the biggest game of Swansea's season now. Stoke have got their first win in six last weekend at home against Hull. That moved them on to 39 points and undoubtedly ensured their survival. But Swansea will see this as an ideal opportunity to put a little bit of pressure on Hull and try and work their way up the table.
Yeah, it seems to have all gone pear-shaped for Swansea. Just when the pressure has been at its fiercest, they've crumbled. You know, they looked as though they were going to get out of trouble, especially on their home form, where, you know, thanks to the arrival of Paul Clement. But it just hasn't worked out for them. What I would say, though, is that they're losing games, but they're only losing narrowly. There's a couple of, if the ball had bounced a different way for them on a couple of occasions, they might have got something out of those games. And I think they're meeting Stoke at just the right time. You know, Stoke have stopped the rot. They're safe now. And I can't see them, to be honest, being fully committed and against a team that will be fighting for their lives. If I was a Stoke player, safe now, you know, the back end of April, playing against a team that's going to be, you know, really at it, I'd be thinking, fancy this. You know, I know I'm getting paid £1 million a week or whatever, but that's human nature. Nah, don't fancy it. I'm going to go for Swansea here. I think it's too much at stake for them to get it this one wrong in front of their home supporters. And let's not forget their form at the Liberty has been okay. You know, for the side, you know, knee-deep in trouble, it hasn't been that bad. And I just think this is the right fixture at the right time for them. So I'm going to go for the Welsh side here.
They're not getting goals. That's the problem, isn't it, Tom, with Swansea? They failed to score in three of their last four Premier League games. I think the necessity for Swansea, it looks like, to me, is built into the price with Swansea at 5-4 because they've lost five of the last six Premier League games, drawing the other one as well. That new manager bounce that Derek alluded to, that's definitely dissipated now for Swansea.
Well, that and it was highlighted last week, wasn't it? But Fernando Llorente, I mean, you know, he was absolutely key for that little bit of resurgence they had. But what was the stat last week? Didn't he sprint 18 metres or something in 80 minutes or so of the game against Watford? I mean, geez, I think even I can manage that, and, you know, playing five a side. So, I mean, that's a problem for them. They've got two key players who have to perform for them. Sigurdsson, who has done all season, you know, I don't think he can hold his head up. And they need Llorente because they're not bad Swansea in terms of getting balls into the box. You know, they get the service in there. They just need somebody on the end of it. And if you've got a goal scorer down there, much as Jermaine Defoe saved Sunderland last year, that can be the difference. Swansea, look, at home, it's not that bad, but they concede a lot, they score a lot. But I look at Stoke. I mean, what's going on with them away from home? They lost 7 of the last 9. Their only win was against Sunderland. And they've not managed a single goal in their last 5 away matches. You know, admittedly, some of them are tough fixtures, but they've conceded a lot of goals as well in that run. Stoke are a meandering team at this stage of the season. And I think at this time of the year, it comes down to me to kind of, you know, who needs it more, who wants it more. And I think that's got to be Swansea, hasn't it? I mean, Swansea have to win this match, I think. And they will have targeted this game as being one that they've got to win. Despite the fact that Stoke have not been scoring away from home, I still think they've got some threats. And I would lean more to the fact that Swansea have been conceding at home to think that Stoke could probably nick one. So 17-5 for Swansea to win and both teams to score would be my play. I think Swansea get it done, because I've just no idea where the motivation is for Stoke City other than pride. Whereas Swansea, it's desperate times, and they will create chances against this Stoke side, and I'm convinced they'll score. I'm just not convinced they'll keep a clean sheet.
Another big game for one of the sides down at the bottom is Hull versus Watford. Hull City 19-20, the draw 21-10, Watford 100-30. Umar Nias to score and Hull to win was 21-10. That's been enhanced to 5-2. And Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 7-1. Tom, this has got to be the first time Hull have been odds on to win a Premier League game this season. Maybe even ever Hull odds on to win a league game. They've lost back-to-back away games against Manchester City and Stoke, losing both those games 3-1. But their home form has been simply incredible, really. They've not been beaten at home since Boxing Day in all competitions, and they've won 7 of those 9 matches as well, Tom.
And you know what else is key in that run? They're scoring goals. I mean, they've pretty much landed over 1.5 goals in nearly all those home matches as well since they've been on their run. It was only that 1-1 draw against Burnley that's caused the problems. They're still conceding, but all of a sudden, you know, they're a team that can sort of bank on themselves scoring 2 and 3 goals, and that's the difference, you know, between, I mean, I think actually on paper, you know, Middlesbrough have probably on paper, you know, a better maybe at 11, but for some reason, and it's absolutely inexplicable to me, and even Hull fans I know cannot seem to explain this, how Marco Silva has got basically a group of players that no one else really wants. He's dealt with all these injuries. And he's turned what is not a particularly, and I don't think Hull fans would mind me saying, it's not a particularly kind of intimidating, you know, atmosphere at the KCOM Stadium. It's not, you know, it's not one of those difficult places to go. It's not like the pitch is an asset for them. I don't know what the problem is for visiting teams and what has gone on to turn, you know, Hull into such a force. And to be honest, I don't really care. All I'm bothered about is the fact that they are, you know, winning games and scoring goals. And I look at Watford and I think, what one win away from home since October. That was against Arsenal. And we have to kind of put that in a little bit of perspective. So they're not showing any kind of threat for me, Watford. I know they picked up a few results here and there. And, you know, they have upset us a few times when we've backed against them. But you can't be backing them in this match, surely. I mean, Hull have got now the home games to get themselves out of trouble, because they've got Sunderland coming to their gaff shortly, and they host Tottenham at the back end of the season. But you know, the next two home matches are absolutely crucial for Hull if they're to try and pull themselves away. And with Swansea being at home against Stoke, this is a similar sort of fixture for Hull against a team that's going nowhere. So Hull are the safer bet for me. If you're looking at Hull or Swansea for an outright price, Hull without question. And you might want to look, I think it's a similar price to the outright for Hull over 1.5 goals. It's 10-11. Again, something they've done at home in 8 of their last 9 matches.
Hull are odds on 19-20 to win this game. Derek, Watford have won 3 of their last 4. Let's not forget that. They're on 40 points, so clearly nothing to play for. But it is reflected in the points that the need for Hull is greater than that of Watford's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's why the 10-11. But I underline the odds compiler's view here. I think the good odds on shots here, Hull.
Right.
You know, when you look at their home form, they're absolutely tremendous. I mean, Watford won the reverse fixture in October 1-0 thanks to a Michael Dawson own goal. They had 23 shots in that match with none on target. I mean, that takes skill, doesn't it? It also takes Troy Deeney, I think. I mean, it was an incredible statistic, that. You know what, Warren, here's another statistic. I looked at what Watford did last season once they got to safety, once they got to 41 points. I'm quite a, you know, a little...
You're a little statsman, aren't you?
Yeah, no, you wouldn't believe that, would you? No, they got to 41 points with a victory on April the 16th last season. They lost four of their next six games, mostly against useless sides. Mm. In other words, you know, they took their foot off the gas big time once safety was sealed, and I expect them to do that again. It's a bit like Stoke at Swansea here, you know, Watford going through a whole team that you know are going to be at you all the time because they have to be. Oh, God, do I fancy this game? No would be the answer. Got to go for Hull.
Hull the selection for both Tom and Derek. Let's move on to West Ham Everton. West Ham 12-5 to win this game. The draw 21-10. Everton 5-4. Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 19-5. That's now 9-2. Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win was 100-30. It's now 4-1. This is a fixture, Derek, that Romelu Lukaku loves. He scored in each of his last nine appearances for Everton against West Ham, and obviously in flying form as well, Derek, having scored 8-8 in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's incredible to see that, isn't it? He always scores against them, and Everton always beat West Ham as well, it seems, no matter where the ground is.
Yeah.
You know, they are their favourite opponents. Everton are flying right now. They really, I mean, I was questioning the pumpkin face Ronald Koeman early this season, but he's come good. West Ham, they're so flaky on home soil, aren't they? You mentioned Andy Carroll. I think there's injury worries about him. Surprise, surprise. I'm not sure whether he'll be playing. I can't really go for West Ham. I can't think of a reason for backing them. They're short on personnel too. A lot of injury worries, Carroll being one of them, as I just suggested. Mark Noble, another. Antonio's out for the season, I think. Some of their big players are missing. I've got to go for Everton. I think that's a fair price, Everton. I against a team they love playing against, got to be the Blues.
Just playing devil's advocate here, Tom. That away form for Everton is nothing like as strong as their form at Goodison. They're a completely different proposition when playing in Liverpool.
Well, yeah, they've only won two, I think, of their last 12 away matches. They've drawn four and they've lost six. And they've lost half of those sort of recent games away from home, and they've kept clean sheets in just three of them. So, yeah, they've not quite cracked it away from home. But they're scoring plenty of goals, and that's the key stat, really, for Everton. I mean, they've scored as many as Manchester City this season. I think they're only a couple or so behind Chelsea. So, you know, it's all about the goals for them. And I think it's all about goals in this particular match as well. You know, I look at West Ham at home. There's been plenty of goals. I mean, you know, the fans at the London Stadium had a lot to complain about, and I mean a lot to complain about, both on and off the pitch. But the one thing they can't moan about is the amount of goals, you know, we've seen there. I mean, six of the last seven have seen over 2.5 goals. So I think you've got an Everton team that are going there, you know, flying more than confident and more than capable of scoring two and three goals. Whereas, you know, West Ham at home, they concede a lot. In the last eight, they've conceded 18 goals at home, and it was just one win in sort of nine matches for them. So look, I'm... If I'm looking at an outright here, I'm going for Everton, but I think there's going to be plenty of goals in this one, and over 3.5 goals at 7-4 certainly interests me. And what I do like to look at as well is sort of players in that little bit of form at home, that little bit of value anytime goal scorer play. And Manuel Lanzini will be the one for me at 11-4 for West Ham. I think West Ham get on the score sheet for sure, and he scored I think three in his last four games at home, so he's been the one they've been relying on. So look away from the obvious ones. Lanzini at 11-4 any time, but I think it's goals in this one. I think you can look at the over 3.5, or if you think Everton are too good, Everton and over 2.5 goals. But I'll be stunned if there's less than two goals in this match.
Very good. That's West Ham versus Everton, and we finish with Bournemouth versus Middlesbrough, and at Bournemouth odds on 5-6 to win this game. The draw 12-5. With Middlesbrough 7-2. The enhancements: Josh King to score and Bournemouth to win was 2-1. That's been enhanced to 5-2. And Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 6-1, enhanced to 7-1. Middlesbrough look doomed. 6 points from safety, but they do have a game in hand. But they're without a win in the league since the 17th of December. That's a run of 15 straight matches now. And they've won just one of their last 29 away games in the Premier League, beating Sunderland back in August. And they've drawn 8 of those, lost 20. Tom, it's difficult to envisage Borough making a charge for survival.
Well, it is. They've got no chance now. I mean, I think they're going to look back at this season and think it was a missed opportunity, because when they got themselves into a decent-ish position in the league, and they were going to the Emirates and getting draws, and to Man City and getting draws, you know, getting results, they needed to capitalise on that. The January transfers were no good. I mean, Rudy Gusted and Patrick Bamford have never done it at Premier League level, and we're never going to get them out of trouble. Likewise, you know, Steve Agnew is a top coach and well respected, but he was never going to be able to change things and shake you know, sort of ruffle those feathers that probably needed happening there. They're too comfortable, Middlesbrough, and those players have been too comfortable for too long. And the problem they've got this weekend, not only is it a long trip, but it's they're almost playing a team that's almost the exact opposite to them. You know, Bournemouth at the moment can't defend, but are always scoring goals. Look, I know people will look at Bournemouth's recent run, no win in the last four matches, but they've played Spurs, Chelsea, Liverpool and Southampton, you know, and last week they were up against Spurs at probably their absolute peak of their powers. So, you know, there's no real great shame in that. There's just a few cracks beginning to appear, and this is the perfect fixture. I think if Eddie Howe, you know, could have picked a game to have after that stuffing by Spurs, it would be Middlesbrough at home or Sunderland maybe at home. But this will be the game for them, because Middlesbrough have got to come out and try and get them, and that's exactly what Bournemouth want at home. So I think we can probably look at this one, and I would suggest that Bournemouth are going to kind of get back to where they've been at times this season. I think this will be Bournemouth sort of returning to form. So I'm very happy to take them on the outright. You know, there's some good players, I think, this weekend in the Premier League fixtures at home, and Bournemouth for me is right up there with Hull against Watford. So I'm taking Bournemouth, and also Bournemouth to win 2-0 at 2-1 as well. It's look good value, because I can't see Borough scoring.
Derek, your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, you're looking for a short odds on poker home. I'd much rather back Hull to beat Watford than I would Bournemouth to beat Borough here. I really would. I watched them against Tottenham last weekend. Okay, yeah, Tottenham were flying and a very good team, Tottenham, we know that. But the gulf in class was absolutely frightening. I've never seen a match like it in the Premier League this season, I don't think. And yeah, okay, you know, and we all know Borough's limitations when it comes to scoring goals, but they scored twice in their last Premier League away match, which is more than in their previous eight on the road combined. You don't really need to know any statistics about Bournemouth. You simply need to know they are Bournemouth, therefore they're beatable. You know, there comes a time when you look at Borough and you think, they're rubbish, they're going down. But they've still got 24 points, you know. You know, they've got them points from somewhere, and it's beaten teams as bad as Bournemouth. There comes a time too when you think, well, 7-2, when do they become a betting proposition, Borough, to win at Bournemouth, an ordinary team like Bournemouth? Is it 7-2? Is it 5-1? Is it 8-1? I think 7-2 has reached that point. I do. I can't be backing Bournemouth or odds on here. I'm going to give Borough, to coin a phrase Tom used daily, one last hurrah here. And if they don't win this, if they don't get 3 points from here, it is dead and buried. You know, they will know that. There is still a glimmer for them, given that game in hand. Still a glimmer that they might get out of it. Hull is still within reaching distance. I'm going to give them a go here. I think it's a big price here, Borough.
7-2 Middlesbrough for Derek in that last game. Speaking of fighting for survival for Hooks, we've got to get a winning treble up this season. Because we've not
haven't
got
we had
one
any.
Yet.
No, not
winning,
one.
No winning
That's
treble
incredible.
This season.
Tom, what are you doing? I'm going first, can I? Because I didn't go first last week.
Yeah, go on, you go, Derek.
Burnley 5-1.
I must admit, I do think that's a big price, Burnley at 5-1 for Derek. Tom, what are you going with?
I'm going to play... I've got to throw in Hull. And, you know, I just can't see them not beating Watford at the weekend, so I'm going to go for Hull.
Okay, 19-20 Hull. I'll take... Oh, I'm torn between either Spurs or over 3.5 goals in Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. I'm going to go with Spurs to beat Chelsea in the 90 minutes in that FA Cup semi-final. So the treble, Burnley at 5-1 to beat Manchester United is Derek's pick. Hull to beat Watford at 19-20 is Tom's pick, and I'm going with Tottenham to beat Chelsea at Wembley at 9-5 in the 90 minutes. Chaps, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. Check us out on iTunes as well. And make sure you check out all the betting for this weekend's football at williamhill.com. And we'll be back next week with more action on the Pump Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.